Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
In the Hebrew is Jehovah Rapha. And he's saying, I am the God who heals you. He's calling himself Jehovah Rapha. I am the God who heals you. It's in his nature. He does not love suffering. He does not love to see you hurt. He doesn't love sickness. It's not his will for you to be sick. It's not his heart. His heart is good. He's a good father. And good fathers don't get a kick out of seeing their children sick, right? So we need to get past the, sometimes we try to think of reasons why we're sick and we can't explain it. And so we start finding reasons to explain it. When we've been prayed for and we can't, you know, haven't seemed to see a healing manifest, and so we start trying to explain it, trying to figure out God and why he would, why a good and holy, righteous God that has a heart for healing would allow a child of his to suffer, right? So we struggle with understanding and we struggle with trying to figure things out. So I'd like to start off this morning, right? I mean, we're just going to go for it. I want everyone who has had an instant healing when somebody's prayed for you to stand up. I know there's a lot because we do this a lot here at Voice. So everyone who's had an instant healing, okay, look around. That's quite a few. All right. So everyone that has had a instant healing from a serious illness, I would like you to stay standing and the rest of you sit down. If you've had a healing, an instant healing from a serious illness. Nobody? Yeah. I want you to stay standing if you have had an instant healing from a serious illness. Is there one? Okay. So back there and here. And I only want you to just name the illness. We don't want the story behind it. There's always an awesome story. But just name the illness if you're free to share.
Back in 1986, I was 45, delivered from acute alcoholism and drug addiction.
Awesome. Instantly.
I heard from the Lord and was healed.
Awesome.
And I was also delivered 5 years later, again hearing from the Lord from a five-pack-a-day cigarette habit.
Awesome. Addiction, instantly. Isn't that awesome? There's one more back there.
I had a lung illness and my lungs were near collapse and I had high fevers for probably 8 months and the Lord just healed me in one moment.
Wow. So all things are possible with God. And you saw how many people have gotten healings. So even though they're not catastrophic or major, God is still, it's still amazing because you know what happened is the kingdom of God came and touched you in that moment. The very kingdom of God came and touched you in that moment when you got healed. That to me is incredible. So that's God's heart. He wants to come and touch us. There's, just want to read to you. If I can find myself here. We have a mandate to heal. We have a mandate to believe for healing. If it's part of God's nature, then we need to embrace it full measure and not be shy about it. So coming from a conservative, I came from a conservative background, and we didn't believe in any of the miraculous giftings, that anything that was miraculous would have passed away with the last apostle. So it's called a cessationist background. Many of you are probably familiar with that. And so when I started, my family and I started stepping into believing and understanding that the miraculous is listed in the gifts in the New Testament. And I mean, I had read that before, but normally that's kind of skipped over and explained away in that conservative setting. And so I didn't have a grid for believing for it. And when the Lord started turning that around for me, I said, give me, you got to challenge me to, my thinking needs to come up in alignment with your thinking. This scripture that is so, you can't deny, it's God himself talking, and he's talking to us. I always love it, because so my conservative little mind would say, oh, that was spoke to the disciples, or that was spoke to the 70, or I could always, that was for just that particular church or person, you know, I could always go there. And this one, the first time I read it, I remember going, huh, I don't have an answer for that one, because he's talking to me. It's in Mark. It's in the last chapter of Mark 16. He starts out by talking to the disciples. He tells them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. That's all of us. Doesn't leave anybody out. Amen. It's all of us. Okay. In my name, they will cast out demons. It doesn't say they might. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. That little word will, I couldn't get past that. They will pick up serpents, and they will drink deadly poison. I'm not condoning going out and getting a viper and testing it, or going and drinking a glass of poison, but if you remember Paul, when he was on the shipwrecked, a viper did bite him, and it didn't harm him. It's when this means that when the enemy tries to take you out, give you something that's before your time, it's not going to prosper. It can't happen. Doesn't matter if it's a viper. It doesn't matter if it's a glass of poison. It won't happen, because God's design for you, God's protection over you, is far powerful. You can sit down right now if you want to. Thanks. Or you can stay, whatever you want. This is my awesome husband. Then it says, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You can't get any more straightforward than that. It's like, what do I do with that? What do I do with that? You know, being in healing ministry is not the easiest ministry to be in. I'll just let you know right up front. I have struggled with this whole concept of healing. Not once I saw this, I could receive it. I could accept that. But so I believe it, but my body still struggles with stuff. And what do I do with that? I've had a gazillion people pray over me. I have prayed over me. I have wept over me. I have died to the flesh. I've gone to the inner healing that needed to happen there, so that, because I know the Lord's called me to healing ministry, and how can I stand in healing ministry when I have doubts in my head? When I have, because I'm not seeing it manifest in my own body, how can I walk? And what do I do when I stand up there and I'm praying for somebody and they get healed of something that I have in my body and they're totally healed instantly? And what do I do with that? You have to sort through those things. You have to work them out, and you have to be okay with that is amazing. That is amazing that they just got healed. There needs to be no resentment, no doubt that it's okay. It's going to happen to you. It needs to, the doubts have to go. So that's the next thing I want to tackle right here. You saw how many people have had healing. It's not fake, God, guys. This is real. People, every Tuesday night that I'm up here, I speak every third Tuesday, and most Sundays, somebody is getting healed. Somebody is getting healed of something. We do a lot of emotional healing. That, to me, is just as powerful as any physical healing, because our emotions are locked in there pretty tight sometimes. But when we can get that emotional release, it's powerful, and it's such a freedom to our spirits. So we're going to work on doubt, fear. Fear is another one. Doubt, when we doubt God, God's dealt with me, and I get pretty radical with the Lord. He's dealt with me with doubt. I've had to deal with doubt, because when I'm in the position that I'm in, trying to work with a healing ministry, for heaven's sakes, and you know, I feel disqualified. My flesh wants to say, well, you're disqualified. You're not. How could you do that? How could you stand up there and testify about God's amazing power to heal when you're not healed? Because I can. Because he's worked it out in me that I think he's awesome, and that he is all powerful, and his heart for me is good, and I trust it. And I have no doubt that his heart is for healing, even for me. I just can't give you all the answers as to why it hasn't happened. So Job, you know, he's an awesome... I love Job. We have a friendship now where I used to avoid him like the plague, because I did not understand that guy. And because at that time my illness was in such a... now I have received healing. It hasn't been instant. I used to have severe fibromyalgia to where I had to use a wheelchair at times. And I had zero energy and constant head fog and constant pain. That was one of four other, besides that, four other additional autoimmune diseases. So at that time, I was really challenged. That's when I began to step into healing ministry, when I was in that place. It really messes with your head, let me tell you. But when I found Job, the Lord started to speak to me. And I saw what was happening with Job. The Lord was trying to say to Job, in your inability to understand me does not define me. Where were you when I created the stars? Where were you when I set the planets in space? Where were you when I put the water in the land? Where were you when I rose up Leviathan? How, you know, God is so above and beyond our ability to explain him. But the things that we can trust about God are the things that originate from him, right? He is absolutely perfect, absolutely holy. There is no, zero sin in God. Zero. He cannot betray himself, and himself is holy. And so he can't go there. So if I look at that and I want to argue about, well, then why haven't you healed me? He's like, one time I was like, God, I have stepped into a ministry that I never wanted, because I didn't understand it and I was afraid of it. I pray for people and they get healed. I teach your word and I teach healing. I stand, you know, I start giving him all these eyes of why he should heal me, because like I've earned it, kind of thing. That's when he took me to Job. He took me there one day. totally out of the blue, and I wasn't expecting it. And what I found shook me to my core. It's where Elihu, the fourth friend, I didn't even know he had a fourth friend. That's how much I avoided Job. So, surprise, there's Elihu who has some wisdom. And Elihu says, I'm angry at your friends, Job, because you justify yourself and they don't know what to say to you. And I'm angry at you, Job, because you justify yourself and not God. Now, Job was put in a very uncomfortable place. He had been stripped of absolutely everything. Everything. He lost everything but his grouchy wife. You know, she's the one that told him to curse God and die. I mean, support. But he, in that place, God started speaking to him. And that's when he was like, where were you when I, how can you possibly understand my heart? Because it's above and beyond. It's so much bigger. But what we can understand is God's character. And what did Job do? He repented in sackcloth and immediately. As soon as he saw God's presence, it reduced him to repentance. There's no pride when it comes to looking at the when you're face to face with God, there's no pride. You can't. It's so silly. God's so amazing. And so what we can trust is God's character. So we need to know him. We need to know what is his character. He's righteous. He's righteous. Perfect righteousness. It originates with him. Perfect holiness. Holy. He's holy. It originates with him. He's love. Love originates with God. He's joyful. Joy originates with him. He's the origin of everything good. That we can trust. That we can put our hope in. That's why we can hope in the Lord. There's always hope. So we're going to get rid of doubts right now and fear. Everybody with me? Yeah, because everybody struggles with it. When it comes to healing, when it comes to breakthrough, when it comes to something you've been contending for a long time, you want to give up. You want to, there's a fear of believing because churches will say, well, you don't have enough faith. That's why you're not healed. Oh, that one gets me. You tell me that and we're going to fight, you know. Okay. No, seriously, I don't defend myself. But because God knows my heart and he knows the faith that I stand in. And so I don't have to defend, and you don't either. God knows your heart. You don't have to defend yourself. It's not about faith. Sometimes there's a few places in the scriptures where Jesus went to heal someone and he said, your faith has made you well. There's other times when he healed somebody that had zero faith, that didn't even know him. He just healed him. There's other times that it was just their act of obedience that healed them, not their faith. So it's not just one. God's not religious. So it doesn't have to be one thing. One thing. So don't put all your thinking into that one thing. If I don't have enough of that, then there's no hope for me. And how do I get enough of that? Because I've been there, done that. Especially with the faith thing. That was one of the but God things that I was doing that day, trying to justify myself. Do I not have enough, you know? It's like, seriously, Londa. So doubt and fear. Fear is the expectation of something bad happening. Right? That's the dictionary version. That's what fear is. Fear is the expectation of something bad happening. If you live in fear, you're going to empower fear because you're made in God's image. You're expecting something bad to happen, and the enemy knows that, and he's going to play on that. So fear boils down to self-protection. Protects your heart. If I fear, then when it happens, I'm not going to be so shocked. My heart's not going to be so hurt because I knew it was coming. Does that make sense? That's how messed up we are. we try to figure out a logical reason for everything. We need to have understanding, and our understanding is not perfect. And so we get these twisted little things that aren't true. That little lie locks us into a very bad place. You're made in the image of God. What you believe affects your atmosphere. And your body feels what you believe. That's what led me to my whole illness thing in the first place. Is because I was never, for some reason, able to express emotion. I had to stuff it. And I was really good at it. I stuffed it. And I never got angry at anybody. I got hurt. I took it. Whatever they were angry at, it was my fault. And I would stuff it. And it got so much to the place where my body couldn't handle it anymore because I'd put so much in it that now it was a trash can. And trash cans are stinky, right? So it was full of disease. And so when I started cleaning that out and releasing it and letting go of those things, my body started a gradual healing. And yeah, amen. I now no longer have fibromyalgia. I can tell you that. It's awesome. So all healings aren't instant. Some come gradual. But in that gradual process, my faith for healing has grown. My confidence in God and who He is has grown. Let your trial grow you, not destroy you. So let's deal with fear and doubt. Okay. Doubt is the opposite of faith. Right? It's the opposite of trust. If you doubt, it actually is another form of self-protection. If I doubt, if I have doubt, then when it doesn't happen, I knew it wouldn't. You know? It cushions the heart. We'll do anything to avoid, and this is all subconscious. You don't consciously go there. We'll do anything to avoid hurting the heart. Our hearts, oh, we so don't want to be in pain. So we're going to... we're going to do a little value exchange. It's real simple, but you're going to be set free of fear and doubt if you're willing. Everybody willing? Raise your hand if you're willing. Awesome. I'm glad you're honest because honestly, I do this daily. some days I do it daily. So picture Jesus. I'm not Jesus, but picture him standing like this, and there's like a table in front of him, a little altar, because we're going to give our fear and doubt as a sacrifice, right? Because it's something that we've placed value on. If we've placed value, because the value of holding on to fear and doubt is self-protection, all right? You have to own it, admit it. Letting go of fear and doubt. Like, I so had to do this because if I let go of doubt, so every time I pray for somebody or every time I'm prayed for, I need to have a clean slate so that I can receive, right? If I have fear and doubt in there, it's not going to happen. I've honestly not ever had an instant healing. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome. I mean, because how amazing that I think he's awesome. In spite of that, how amazing. And so I get healing, but it comes the other way. But you know what? I believe him. So anyway, put fear and doubt up here. And the benefit. I'm going to lead you through a prayer. You have to own the benefit. You have to feel the value that you've placed on holding these things because they're self-protection. They're protecting your heart at some level. And just lay those things on the altar, the fear and doubt and the benefit, and just say, Jesus, I recognize that I have held on to fear and doubt and the self-protection that I've accepted to protect my heart. I ask your forgiveness for doing this. Because I have used those things to protect my heart in place of you. and I'm sorry. But right now, in Jesus' name, I choose to break my agreement with fear, doubt, and the self-protection that comes with it. And I command all demonic assignments connected to it to go in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I ask that you cleanse this place for each one of them. Now listen to him, because he's going to give you something. He's not going to leave you without. Lord Jesus, what would you like to give them that you value in this place? Just receive. He's going to give it to you in a way that you can receive it. What do you want them to have, Lord? Compassionate God, you still take care of our hearts. Thank you, Lord. I bless what you're doing right now. I bless it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. How many of you feel relief now? That's a lot. That's a lot of you. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. It's awesome. Jesus healed every single person that came to him. He didn't heal everybody that he saw, but he healed every single person that came to him. It is part of his kingdom. He says, when we go out and we preach and teach and heal the sick, we tell them that the kingdom has come near them. Right? It's part of the kingdom. We're pulling on the kingdom. What's in heaven? There is no sickness. The Bible says whatever you bind on earth is whatever is bound in heaven, you can bind on earth. And whatever is loosed in heaven, you can loose on earth. That's how we can loose disease and sickness. There, it doesn't exist there. So we're kingdom people. We're seated in heaven with Jesus, right? We're seated next to him. So we can pull on the kingdom. We're Papa's children, kingdom people. It's like being for heaven's sakes, the royal couple in England. What's it? What's their names? Thank you. Yes, they know who they are, right? So when they go out. They don't go out with the attitude of lack or unworthiness, or they go out with confidence in who they are, that they're the queen's grandchildren. They know, and they're treated like it. So the enemy has to treat you like you know who you are. If you know who you are, he has to obey that. That's where you have authority. You've been given the authority, but you have to come into agreement with it. You have to know who you are. So if we think, if we're always thinking in lack, I'm not good enough, it takes somebody else to heal that person, or I don't have the gift, or, you can come up with all these excuses, and that's hogwash is the word that comes right now. It's hogwash, because that is not who you are. You can pray for the sick. You can cast out demons. It didn't say in that scripture just those that have the gift. Now the gift makes a greater anointing, a greater degree on it. But every one of us can do what that says, because it didn't specify. It says all who believe, right? So. I'm just feeling like I feel like there's still a couple emotional things the Lord wants to deal with before we get into the healing, the physical healing. I hear the word hopeless, hopeless and shame. Does anybody, there should be several hands, so don't be shy. Hopeless and shame. Okay. Hopeless, that discouraged, you've walked, you know, you've been pressing in and pressing in for something, even if it's a job, a personal thing in your life, there's this hopelessness that comes when things are long term. That hopelessness and the shame, we hold on to shame because we feel like we deserve it. We, you know, for it's subconscious. There's reasons we hold on to shame, feel like we need to, we don't deserve forgiveness. If we hold on to shame, it will remind us not to do it again. It's those kinds of things. And that is another form of self-protection. Hopelessness is the same way. If I hope, then if it doesn't happen, then I've let my heart down again. A lot of things are honestly self-protection. It's either self-protection, self-elevation, or self-comfort. I find pretty much across the board. So let's just do what. So I'm going to just do a blanket with everybody. Whatever it is you're holding on to, even if it's not shame, if it's something other than shame, whatever. If it's if you're anger, if you have rejection, any of those things, any negative thing that you've held on to for a long time, that you have trouble getting rid of, that you've been to the Lord and even forgiving yourself, just lay it on that altar. And that's a sacrifice to the Lord. You're giving up something that you've put value on at some level, a subconscious level. Just put it up on the altar and just say, Jesus, I recognize that I have been holding on to, you name it. I ask your forgiveness for doing this. I choose to put you as the protector of my heart. And I choose to break all agreements with anger or whatever it is, shame. And I command those demonic assignments to go in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I ask that you'd cleanse this place for them. Don't need to hold on to it. Lord, what would you like to give them in return? What do you want them to have? Awesome. Thank you, Lord. How many of you got some relief there? Good. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I want everybody that has a serious diagnosis right now, everyone that has a serious disease, that even if it's life-threatening, I want you to stand if possible. If not possible, then just... Denny's standing. Awesome. Anybody else? I know Kathy's sister's way back there. Okay. So I want you guys that are close to them to gather. There's Chuck. There's one there. People gather around them. Gather around them. We're going to lay hands, and we're going to believe because we can. We can. Right? Those who come who believe will lay hands on the sick. They will recover. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when you're praying for somebody for a sickness, you take authority of it. You don't be nice to it. You take authority of it over it, and you command that thing to come out in Jesus' name. You break its power off that person. And anything, like if you feel fear or weariness or anything, fatigue or whatever's on their body, you just listen to Holy Spirit. But you get aggressive. You don't have to yell. Don't have to wrestle them to the ground either. Just take authority with confidence. You can't drum up confidence. It either is or it isn't. But be bold about it. And Father, right now, I just come in agreement and I take authority over that spirit of infirmity and the spirit of we break the declarations that have been declared over these people, the harsh diagnoses that they've listened to and has been declared over them. We break it now in Jesus' name. We break the power of those things. In Jesus' name, we break the enemy's ability to kill, steal, and destroy. These people are your children, Lord. So we choose to come into agreement with what you've already done on the cross, Jesus. We break the power of the enemy now. In Jesus' name, we release healing. We release healing. We speak life into these people. Life and strength. Life and strength into their bodies. Command that tumor to come out of Johanna's head right now in Jesus' name. I command it to release, to shrink, to go away, disappear. And I command your body to forget it. Let it go. Let it go. Be happy. Happy body. Peaceful. Joyful. Over Denny, I just speak life into your lungs, Denny, and in your heart, your whole body. Take authority over what the locusts have tried to eat, how the locusts have tried to destroy you. We break its power off of you in Jesus' name. I command strength into your body now in Jesus' name and your immune system to be healthy and strong. Thank you, Jesus.
I'll pray over Priscilla. Oh, Priscilla. Yeah. Let's gather around her.
Thank you, Lord.
Struggling and battling.
Anybody feel anything happening?
Priscilla.
Sometimes your body gets a little warm.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel a release. Thank you, Jesus.
Sharply criticize.
It's hard to pray. It's hard for us to pray over somebody that has a serious disease. That seems intimidating, but honestly, before the Lord, it's like a hangnail. It's honestly, it doesn't take him any more effort to heal a heart disease than it does to heal a hangnail. That power is within him, and it loves to come out. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. So I'd like everybody who has pain in your body to come up here. Anywhere in your body, pain. Thank you, Jesus. You're all going to be the healing team today. So anybody that wants to, you come up and stand behind somebody. Stand behind them and put your hand on them. If you're here to be prayed for, don't put your hand on anybody. We need to be able to tell the difference. I know you want to help, but so stand back enough so people can get behind them. No, not you, Gary. Everybody got me? All right, so make sure everybody's everybody's got a hand on them. Colin, are you here for pain? So somebody needs to be touching Colin right here. We need to, Okay. Everybody got a buddy? All right. Thank you, Gail. Is somebody touching? Lord has got you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so we're going to take authority over this pain right now in Jesus' name. I feel like the Lord just wants to wash over you right now. Just be in agreement to let it go. Let it go. For whatever reason you're feeling pain, just let it, just start to let it go. Just let it go. It's not your identity. If any of you have been holding pain, I break it off of your identity right now in Jesus' name. Long-term things we tend to take on and think that's who we are. I break that lie now in the name of Jesus. I release healing into your pain. Has to go in Jesus' name. Pain has to go. There's no place in a holy temple for pain. Pain has to go. We just break all emotional attachments to pain. All emotional attachments. It has to release now. Just let it release. He's like washing over you. I see like rain, this gentle rain coming down, just wanting to wash it. Wash it off. Wash it off. God, we just speak peace and life. Peace and life. Pain has to go in Jesus' name. Just release all pain. You don't have to carry it anymore. I break it off your body in Jesus' name. I release pain. Release it. Pain has to go. Just release. Release it. Thank you, Jesus. Release it. Speak to your spine. Just bless it. Strength. I command spines to be straight and happy, healthy in Jesus' name. Pain has to go. Pain is no match for the peace of God, presence of Jesus. Guys, give it a little shake. See how you feel. How many of you are feeling some healing? Any more? Awesome. Some? More? Some? Okay. So tell me what's going on. Can you speak it? Or?
Just have a lot. Artificial leg for 42 years from cancer, and so my body is just kind of out of whack.
Well, we just command this body to no more be out of whack. I command your spine, your skeleton system, to align itself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I release that years of abuse, like not that you've abused, but the off being off balance, the having to make up for the discrepancy. I break that off of you in Jesus' name. I release it from your body. I command pain to go now and your muscles to be strong. I command even out, and I even command your leg to grow. Wouldn't that be awesome? I believe for that. I command your leg to grow out in Jesus' name, to release a new leg and to be your body would just be strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. No more identity with cancer. It's broken. It's done. Healed in Jesus' name. Command all pain. All that imbalance has to go now in Jesus' name. How's that feel? feel to you? Lower back. It's okay if I put my hand there. So if you have trouble getting, it's okay to pray 10 times. It's all right. So we just command that pain right now, the discs right there, where there's been abuse and stress on those discs, I command it to stop and to regenerate now. New tissue, new cushions right now in Jesus' name. Infirmity has to go, and pain, spirit of pain has to go now in Jesus' name. We just release peace and strength and joy into you. Joy. Thank you, Lord. Pain has to go. How's that feeling? Not as tense. You know what? A little is better than nothing, right? Little is better than nothing. So thank you, Jesus. And so what I've done with my body is, because it has had and has chronic things on it, I stop cursing it. I stop being angry that it's not working the way I want it to work, that it doesn't come into alignment with who I think it should be. And I take the pressure off of it. I forgive my body. So I know this sounds like I'm talking to a, but I'm triune. So I forgive my body for not being all living up to my expectations. I release it from the bondage that I've put on it by the negative thinking. And I start blessing my body. I bless it with strength. I bless it, tell it it's strong and healthy. It's beautiful. It's I thank the Lord for it. It could always be worse. A lot of sad things out there. I thank the Lord for the body that I have. I bless it. So stop thinking in negativity and that putting negative things on your body, failure and all that stuff. Start blessing your body. I feel like did anybody else get healing here? Yeah? Awesome. What happened there? Irma?
I'm feeling the pain come out of my feet and my arms.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I keep hearing the word kidney. Does anybody have a kidney issue with their kidneys? Somebody's pointing. It's two in the back. Okay, would somebody surround them? You guys surround them. Just stay there and people are going to come around you. And the back row, back Debbie, I believe, has kidney issues. Okay, you guys just start praying for them. Believe. That has to go. And I also hear the word migraine. Anybody have migraine right here? Anybody else have migraines?
Anybody have a problem with your neck? It almost feels like it just there's this joint that just kind of makes a V and goes on down your spine.
Okay, she said right here, yes, from a car wreck. When somebody's had an accident, you can break the shock. You need to break the shock of that accident off of their body. The trauma needs to, because the body wants to hold the memory of that trauma. So you need to break the shock of it, the memory of it. I always tap it, get its attention right there, and I command that shock, command the body, and tell it it's okay to let that go. And I release it, and it's okay to be peaceful. You know, sometimes we just, our bodies are like our emotions. We just need permission. I mean, we're connected. So our emotions affect our bodies.